Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Welcome to all on the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. Welcome also to all who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Gordon. This Mass is being offered for the students and teachers of the parish for Catholic Schools Week.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
As we brave this bitter weather, this weekend we celebrate Word of God Sunday, where the Old Testament points and reveals the New, and the New Testament fulfills the Old, and you'll see that in a very obvious connection between our first reading of Isaiah, ancient prophet of Isaiah, to our gospel, and the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. This is also around the feast of our parish patron and the patron of students, St. Thomas Aquinas, the beginning of Catholic Schools Week. And we're grateful that a number of our students from our parish school are going to be participating in the various liturgical ministries of this liturgy. As we come to worship the Lord, as we come to prepare ourselves to receive our Savior in word and sacrament, let us call to mind our sins and all those worldly obstacles that often get in the way of our spiritual life. Let us seek God's mercy and peace. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
In the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son, we may abound in good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Book of the prophet Isaiah. First the Lord declared the Lord the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And in the end he had glorified the seaward road and the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. Anguish has taken wing, dispelled its darkness, for there is no gloom where there was distress. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwell in the land of gloom, a light has been shown. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing. As they rejoice, you have at the harvest, as people will marry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that had burdened them, the pull on their shoulder, in the road of their taskmaster, you have smashed, and the Lord of Midian, the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? The Lord is my light and my salvation. There is one thing I ask of the Lord. Only this do I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to inquire at his temple. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I believe I shall see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, be stout-hearted, and wait for the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, and that there will be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers and sisters, by Chloe's people, that there are rivalries among you. I mean that each of you is saying, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with the wisdom of human eloquence, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its meaning. The word of the Lord.
With you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The gospel of the Lord. Our readings begin this season of mission for the church, ordinary time, time ordered to the growth of the springtime of the church. And that's why we wear green, even though it's still pretty white and miserable out there. Angry little snow globe that it's been this weekend. But this is a time of growth personally and also for the growth of the church, to share our faith, to invite others into it. As we celebrate and begin Catholic Schools Week, again, we remember that Jesus calls us to go therefore and teach all nations, that we might baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's a time for growth, it's a time for mission. And now that we've celebrated Jesus' baptism, he begins his public mission and ministry. He starts calling the disciples, he starts gathering a band of disciples, and off he goes. And he starts proclaiming a very simple message. Repent, the kingdom is in your midst. Sometimes they'll say repent and believe. But he has a very simple message, and it's an urgent message. Now is the time, the kingdom is in your midst. Let's face it, even though he might not be publicly identifying himself as the Messiah, he is the one sent by the Father. He is the locus of the kingdom. The kingdom is there. This is a time for change. Don't procrastinate. Don't put off till tomorrow what the Lord has put on your heart. And there's an urgency to this. And that same urgency is always with us. It's very important to realize that the mission of Christ is always here and now. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings and what opportunities might change. If the Lord puts it on our heart to do something different, to change, to repent, to convert more, if the Lord puts it on our heart to share our faith with somebody else, to accompany them, to reach out, to do a work of mercy, now's the day to do that. We might not have the opportunity tomorrow. There's an urgency to the mission. The mission is always here and now. And again, we see that urgency within the readings of today. Now, Jesus, if we talk about here and now of mission, that mission is local to where Jesus grows up. Now, yes, the early childhood years of Jesus are spent in Egypt, but once Mary and Joseph return from Egypt, they settle back in Nazareth. When Jesus begins his public ministry, where does he go? Capernaum. Where's Capernaum? Like a stone's throw northeast of Nazareth, probably a day's journey, walking slowly. It's not far. Israel isn't that big, to be honest. And he begins very locally. Now, back in the day when that was first settled, that promised land was first settled by the Israelites coming into that land from Egypt after the Exodus, the 12 tribes, again, there's 12 sons of Jacob, the patriarch, and from their progeny, all their descendants, you have those 12 tribes of Israel. the northern two tribes that settle way up in that area of Galilee are the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. They're way up there, kind of where Jesus was growing up in Nazareth and the area around Capernaum. Now, what happens in those intervening centuries is that that whole land of the northern kingdom of Israel gets forcibly resettled by Gentiles, which is to say, non-Jewish people. So by the time we get to the era of the Messiah, and Jesus comes and he's revealed, that area is now not Galilee of the Jews, it's Galilee of the Gentiles. And so that mission to be a light to the world, right? Jesus is the light of the world. That mission is to call all times and all peoples and all places to a knowledge of the one true God. That mission now can begin quite locally. He doesn't have to go far beyond the boundaries of Israel. He grew up beyond the boundaries of Israel. He's in Galilee of the Gentiles. So he can literally start next door. So again, it speaks to the mission being here and now. And same thing goes for us, let's be honest. We don't have to go to the other side of the world to share the faith with people. Our world has become more and more secularized. There's people right next door to us. There's people in our neighborhood. There's people in our schools. There's people in our workplace who really don't know who Jesus is. They don't know the story. They've never really had that shared with them. Maybe it's the person in front of you in the checkout line. There's people right here and now. Sometimes it's easy to make those excuses of, well, you know, I'm not really in a position to be some missionary to some far-off land. You don't have to be a missionary to a far-off land. There's people right here, right now, who could use your encouragement, who could use your witness, who could use an introduction to Jesus. And you have that relationship. The mission is here. Now, there's probably a reason that Jesus starts in Capernaum. Frankly, that's where Simon Peter lives. His house is on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum's sort of the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and that's where he's living and that's where he's working. And so it makes perfect sense that as Jesus starts with Peter and Andrew, and then the sons of Zebedee, James and John, well, yeah, there you go. They're living and working right here, and Jesus probably stayed with Simon Peter and, James and John in some of those early months of the ministry until they sort of moved on beyond Capernaum. But it speaks to the ministry being local. As the old saying says, bloom where you're planted. The Lord may call you to greater things, but bloom where you're planted. Practice being faithful in those little things, and the Lord may give you bigger things to do. But right now, this locality, this neighborhood needs your witness. It needs your sharing of the faith. It needs your joy. It needs your mercy and forgiveness and the things that you have by God's gift of faith here and now. Now, as we speak to now, this is an interesting point, especially since this is Catholic Schools Week and we have a number of our students here. Thank you for braving the cold. To our modern education system today, oftentimes we send you through years and years and years and years of schooling before you get to your career. Now, I mean, maybe one or two of you will start a paper route or you'll invent something earlier in life, but a lot of times we send you through 12 years of grade school at least. We send you to, college or some other career school, and then somewhere like in your 20s, you start to find what is your occupation, how do you make your livelihood, and then you sort of support yourself throughout life and your family, etc. That's not how Jesus works it in the spiritual life. He just calls them and sends them right into it, having no clue what they're doing. And it's kind of delightful and it's beautiful at the same time. That Jesus doesn't take the apostles and say, okay, now I'm going to send you away for several years so you can get your degree in preaching. Now, again, yes, nowadays we do that to the ordained ministry. But there's something beautiful about Jesus saying, you know, you're going to learn this best by just being with me. And Jesus grabs Peter and Andrew and James and John, and he just puts them to work immediately. Hey, we got towns and villages to visit. Come on along. And they hear Jesus preach, and they hear Jesus teach, and they take it in, and they ask questions, and they eat together, and they pray together, and they camp out together. And then eventually, as they hear him say the same parables over and over, town to town, and then they start to find their voice. And then, you know, pretty soon Jesus starts to send out the 12, and then a larger group of disciples, the 72. And after they've sat with Jesus long enough, yeah, okay, we know your message now. We can repeat some of that. And then they take ownership of the mission, and they go town to town and say, repent. The kingdom is in your midst. Now's the time. Again, here and now, there's a sense of urgency and immediacy. And I think that's how the Lord works in our lives too. It's so easy to procrastinate, make excuses. The Lord wants our yes. And sure, do we have it all figured out in terms of our faith, in terms of our knowledge of theology and scripture? Probably not. Frankly, I'm still learning stuff each day. I have not memorized all of scripture. I have to go back and read things and study things over and over again and try to cram it in my hard drive, which is getting more full each day. And so it is with all of us. But let's not make that an excuse. We have a relationship with the Lord, and frankly, that's the most important thing to share. Some of the facts and the figures and the details, that's all right. You can leave some of that to the professionals. Send them to talk to the priests or the clergy. That's great. But what the Lord wants for us is to reach out to those in need who might not know the Lord, who might not know God's love and mercy, and they need that encouragement that your friendship with Jesus has changed everything. It changes how you see life. It changes your worries into a relationship of trust. The Lord lifts your burdens. The Lord brings you hope. The Lord brings you joy, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. They need your story, your personal witness. And so may the Lord call us this new year to share our faith, and may we be praying about that. It's a new year. What does the Lord want us to change personally that we might draw ever nearer to the Lord? What does the Lord want us to do to maybe reach out to those we live with, those we serve with, those we study with, those we work with, maybe the neighbors across the street? Is there somebody that we could reach out to and maybe just water the seeds of their faith? And maybe they're already Christian, but maybe they just need a little bit of encouragement to find another Christian that they can find encouragement in and grow a little deeper in their faith, that the light of Christ may shine brightly to the world around us, a world that oftentimes is in darkness, looking for love in all the wrong places and getting caught up in all the wealth and honor and power and pleasure and the things that really do not lead to the kingdom and do not ultimately satisfy the aches and the pains and the emptiness of our hearts. We have a faith, we have a friendship in Christ. The time for mission is here and now. May we be generous with the friendship that we have with Christ and the knowledge of that with all those we meet. Professing our faith that unites us as one in the body of Christ, let us pray. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As children of God, let us bring our prayers before our merciful Father.
For the Church, may she grow in holiness and grace through the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray to the Lord. For civic leaders, may they work to ensure that all peoples can worship God in peace and freedom. Let us pray to the Lord. For all those who are persecuted for their faith in Christ, may God's Holy Spirit uphold and strengthen them. Let us pray to the Lord. For our St. Thomas Aquinas Parish School and all Catholic schools, as we enter Catholic Schools Week, may we continue to grow in our united faith and community. Let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and suffering in our community, may God's Holy Spirit restore them to the life, to the fullness of life and health, especially our television, radio, and online community, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray to the Lord. For our beloved dead, may they come to share in the fullness of glory, especially Pat Robinson and all the holy souls in purgatory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Loving God, our salvation comes from you alone. Hear and answer these prayers which we offer with trust in your saving power. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
We have.
stand and pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Accept our offerings, O Lord, we pray, and in sanctifying them, grant that they may profit us for salvation through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for we know it belongs to your boundless glory that you came to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity and even fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself, that the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation through Christ our Lord. Through him, the host of angels adores your majesty and rejoices in your presence forever. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in one chorus of exultant praise as we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. From the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with her blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all of the saints and whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and the salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servant, Leo, our Pope, and Earl, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you in your compassion, O merciful Father. Gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world, to our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom we bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day.
Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we wait the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, my soul shall be.
You until
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that receiving the grace by which you bring us to new life, we may always glory in your gift through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go announce the gospel of the Lord.
Please join us in sending forth singing number 835, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." Again, that's 835.
One day be restored, and spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Friends, I'm standing in front of a statue of St. Thomas Aquinas, patron saint of students. In the spiritual life, we're all students. We're growing in faith, hope, and love. I want to thank all those who support this outreach mass ministry by their prayers, by their contributions, that we can share the good news with thousands of households across Michigan. If you wish to support this ministry, send a check payable to Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. Thank you for your generosity. May God bless and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.